So I have two slides, but I can ask one question real quick. And that's, does anybody know what an effect size is?
What?
Effect size. I'm going to study effect size. Okay, good. That tells me how I'm going to kind of do this. Okay? So that was us. This is, I also need to say that the Northeast Program Evaluation Center and Dr. Wes Caspro are involved in many of our studies. Very, 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 very helpful folks who need to be recognized. These are the folks that actually keep the data on all the programs and the levels that go in, which is a huge task, as you will see. So, let's do this study. Can we go out of order?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this study then. I'm a versatile fellow, he said. In this study, the question that we addressed was, can you predict the outcomes of somebody that goes into a large transitional housing program? And there actually are very, very few studies in which someone asked that specific question, and it's an important question because the VA homeless programs are now $1 billion a year. So, and there are a number of different programs, as any of you who are familiar with the VA would know. So you name a flavor, VA pretty much has that flavor these days. Transitional, safe haven, housing first, DOMS, etc. So, here we're going to look at the GPD program. We have this data provided by Dr. Caspro from the VA Northeast Program Evaluation Center. So we have every admission into that program nationally for a 10-year period of time. So, and that could have been Dr. Steve Natro from the University of Pennsylvania, which is here. Mm-hmm. So that answered that. So next slide. He's also associated with our center. So, hello, Steve. Welcome. And I hate
when it does
this. I'm moving faster than these, but this wasn't the way this was built. So, anyway, if you don't know the GPD program, there's actually two components. One is to purchase and/or upgrade or remodel housing facilities. So, that's the grant part. And then there's a per diem part in which which works primarily on a voucher system, but in which services are reimbursed to the community providers. So it is very much a community-based program. the data that we analyzed for this study are derived from very comprehensive intake, admission, discharge, and facility descriptor, really program descriptor rather than facility. Because some of these facilities are fairly large in and of themselves, and they may have several programs, so we're talking about GPD program, actually. So to give you an idea, we have 100,000 records from about 70,000 veterans in over 400 provider programs. So we were looking at four primary outcomes, right? Did they complete the program? Were they employed on discharge? Did they have a residence of their own on discharge? Okay. And that means that they were either paying or contributing to rent or mortgage, etc. And whether or not they were sadly homeless again within 1 year of discharge in the program. So, in a few studies that have been done in this area have looked like that things like, is the number of days someone was in a program related to whether or not they had a residence on discharge? The question we're primarily asking, or that we looked at, is a large set of predictors, right, and our four outcomes just discussed. So these are nine of the 10 domains, just to give you an idea. Some of these are fairly obvious, right? We did look at intervention components, for example, like length of stay, program characteristics, whether they, for example, they have stages of recovery that they walk through, like the 10-step model, whether or not they were at a faith-based orientation, we actually had multiple measures. So for the program domain, right, we looked at things like how large, urban versus rural, whether they required sobriety admission, okay, whether they had testing for alcohol or substance abuse, the number of services that were offered, which ranges up to 23 different unique services that were possible, whether they had a program philosophy, some actually don't, but whether they used stages of recovery, whether they were faith-based, etc. So I want to give you the idea that we did use the word comprehensive loosely. We added a 10th domain, which actually has not been looked at, because we talk about unemployment and its relationship to homelessness, and we say high unemployment produces homelessness, right? And it's very logical. And it's certainly an interesting question. I mean, I think the reason people haven't looked at it was because it's so obvious. So we actually, in talking with some economists at the U.S. Bureau of the Census, they suggested that not just looking at unemployment, but also looking at gross domestic product might be valuable, because increases, as you have increases in gross domestic product, unemployment falls subsequently. It's a little bit of a momentum phenomenon. And so our concern is, we looked at previous four quarters to admission in each case, next four quarters for these two economic measures, in an attempt to say, well, you could be in the program, but things could be getting worse and it's hard to get a job, right? And you could have entered the program because things had gotten worse and you lost a job. So we're trying to sort of lag in both directions. Okay. And to roll on this domain. Just to give you an idea, the relationship between the two is not predictable. If you actually run correlations quarter by quarter, they're very, very, very small. You can see that GDP, right, is extremely variable. So, and these are quarter by quarter for a decade. So, and of course we can see that here's where we are these days, not so good. And next slide, please. Okay, so we exclude some cases for a variety of confounding reasons. One quick example, you know, there are individuals who enter programs, they enter programs for a variety of reasons, some of them because they need a week's respite. So, and they're gone. So we don't consider that to be in the program. We sort of said, well, you had to be there 10 days to get a dose of the program, or we're not going to measure the effectiveness. So this would be like a clinical trial where somebody takes one dose and disappears. Next slide, please. We use this a regression analysis. Let me tell you that we're not going to go into the details of this, but that analysis allows us to actually ask two important questions. One is the domain, if we put all the domains together, how much of the variability in outcomes can we actually explain? Right? So it's sort of a measure of how much do we really know about the outcomes. And it also allows us to look at some very specific sorts of measures, like on how many days in the previous 30 days prior to admission did somebody become inebriated. Okay. So, for a big picture and then really micro. Next slide, please. So, in next slide, we don't need that. Okay. So, here's the outcome statistics, first of all. So, these are the outcomes. And they're a little disappointing to most people who see this. They say, well, actually, only a little over half of the veterans who go into these programs actually complete the program. So there's a case manager, there's a program that's laid out that says, here are the things that are going to happen and you will do, et cetera, et cetera. And here's the end point. So only about half actually have a residence. About a quarter are employed. Okay. And about 30% are homeless again within a year. So let's look at these outcomes one by one. Complete treatment, about 50%. We don't know too much. This figure right here tells us that we don't know much about predicting, right, who's going to complete the program. We look at 53 different variables in 10 domains, and we can't predict. We've got about 2.6%. And
if you're
a statistician and you look at that, you go, wow, guess what? I'm going to play poker with you because you don't know what you're doing. Right? So, not good. And here, if you're familiar with odds ratios, we'll get to in a couple slides, but, you know, these are because of the numbers we're dealing with. Our sample size is so big, right? So all of these are significant, but none of them are meaningful. So it's one of the reasons I asked about effect size. It isn't significance we're interested in because large samples produce significant findings always. It's, you know, what do we know? How much do we know? And these odds ratios don't say we don't know anything. Next slide, please. So when we look at who has housing on discharge that they're actually paying for, similar results, 3.2%. You know, here we have a couple of, normally, if an odds ratio wasn't at least 2, you would ignore it. I'm trying to be kind here. We have a couple, let's say, well, if they're married, which is only about 3% of the veterans that go into the JPD program, the odds are a little better, right? And if they're actually in a rural setting, the odds are a little better. Next slide, please. Okay, employed on discharge, only about 25% are. Here we do a little bit better. So we actually know something about this. So a major journal would say, that's not bad. And, you know, it's not 50%. It's not bad. So, and we can see that, right, all of these significant individual variables actually don't have much meaning. We go to the next slide. There are a few, right, employed on discharge. So here are ones that have meaning. They're either very low or very high, the ones in bold italics. But what they tell us is, if they have a source of income before they go on the program, they're less likely to be employed on the end. That's basically what, yes. You have to get one through.
Oh, yeah.
All right? So whether if they have, this is service-connected VA pension, what's called non-service-connected VA pension, sources of support outside of the VA. Next slide, please. Okay. And a homeless again. Well, interesting, right? The one thing is you want to say, well, they do drug testing in the program, increases the odds that they'll be homeless again. Why? Because when they fail the drug test, they get to another program, because it's a program that's a dry program, right? And therefore, now they're out on the street again, which means that they're going to be homeless again. However, the alcohol testing has a little bit different pattern, and I think that has to do with the individuals who come into the program. We're kind of pulling this apart. Maybe a little bit more motivated because they're older, in general. The alcohol-dependent individuals who are not drug dependents tend to be older veterans. And so we probably have some kind of complex interaction there with age and relationship to receiving disability income of some sort, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I think we're getting ready to wrap up. So, the analysis didn't explain variation, program completion, or having a residence. There was some unemployment and recidivism, right? Financial support is an issue, certainly. With reduced probability of employment. Next slide, please. Okay. This one winds, I think, doesn't it? Oh, there we go. Why don't we predict better? The one thing that's missing in the data that we have is personal characteristics, which I personally think are important because they're such powerful predictors for other outcomes in other areas. Educational, occupational achievement, family background variables, history of family homelessness. There's some suggestions that that's an individual coming from a family, right, that had a history of homelessness. If you've been homeless as a child in a family, the odds that you're going to be homeless as an adult, you know, are increased. Now, that's a testable hypothesis. I know we're going to try to get some of that. So, the other point that we would make is we were talking about the relationship between age and support and alcohol testing in the program, et cetera, suggests that we researchers have tried to ask questions that are too easy, right? It's more complicated than that, and so we actually need to get more sophisticated in the analysis that we're doing and look at smaller pieces in more detail before we start doing very large models like this one.
I think that's good.
Okay, there was, you know, there's a tendency in some programs to say one size fits all, right? We don't care about your characteristics because, right? So, 12 steps like that, right? No matter where you come from, this is the model, right? And also, all sizes fit everyone. That is, well, we have 22 different programs and we can throw anybody in any one of those programs. There's no reason to have different programs if you don't think that they are better suited to different individuals. It doesn't really make much sense to do that. But I don't know that we have a lot of data that supports those kinds of decisions at this point. That'll be the last one. It's not an easy thing. So, we have probably 30 seconds for a quick question. Send me questions via email, and I'll be happy to respond.
The only comment I would make is I applaud you for showing the variance explained, which seems to be going out of style. People don't do it as much, but I think it's really important. I think in a lot of analyses, it is hard to explain very much of it, so I think something can still be made out of what we have found. And I guess I would ask, to what extent do the findings that you've got here correspond with veterans' reports about their perceptions as to why they didn't complete the program and the other staff were staffed?
So to answer your question, you know, you'd like to explain 5% of the variance in the outcomes with your predictors. You know, I know that doesn't sound like much, but that would be good. I mean, it's sort of an industry standard cutting across medicine and psychosocial research. The impact of taking an aspirin is not that great. Of course, they only cost 2 cents, so you can save some lives. Right? 40 billion people take aspirins. You can reduce the number of cardiac events by 0.8% or something, which is 46,000 lives. Right? So, you know, it is a little bit in the numbers. Normally 5%, you know, 53 predictors. But, yes, and actually there aren't many studies. You want to think, I read this great paper where they actually interviewed, right, the focus group work with, they had 6 groups of veterans, and right here were the things that happened.